The year was 1978. I had just turned 20 years old. I had just finished my sophomore year at the University of North Alabama in college. Our church was having a vacation Bible school that summer. And this was back in the days when bus ministry was really popular. The larger churches had a fleet of buses that would go about picking people up, bringing them to church, bringing them to special events. Well, we had a fleet of buses that we used to go pick up kids to bring them to vacation Bible school. Now, in our little town, it was a very small little town, but we used four buses on that occasion, one going east, one going west, one covering the center of town, and one going down to the river. Mine went down through the streets of Killen, the city. Each bus was given two teachers, a boy and a girl. I was on one of the buses, and I had a 17-year-old girl who was my co-teacher or helper for our bus. The purpose for the two teachers were to keep the kids from tearing up the buses because we had borrowed the buses. So here we go. We're going down the road, down the streets of Killen, Alabama, and we're actually singing children's songs as we're going by picking up kids to our vacation Bible school. So the other teacher, the young lady, and she said, let's sing the song, "Isn't It Grand to Be a Christian?" Well, we all know that song, don't we? We sing it here with our kids. "Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand?" We all know that. We sing it with our kids. We sung it with our kids way back when they were very small. So we're going to sing, "Isn't It Grand to Be a Christian?" So we started singing the song, "Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand?" And as soon as we said the word grand, a little boy in the back of the bus, he jumped up and he said, "Yee-haw!" And the young lady that was working with me on the bus, she jumps up out of her seat. She runs to the back of that bus, and she puts her finger in that little boy's face, and she says, "No, no, no. We don't say yee-haw." And that little boy looked back up at her with them big brown eyes, and he said, "Well, we ought to say something." And it just shocked her and me that he would make a statement like that. And I want you to know, for the rest of that week, we rode down the streets of Killen, Alabama, singing, "Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? Yee-haw!" You know, that little boy is absolutely right. We need to say something about our Christianity. We need to let people know who we are. Why? Because it hasn't always been that way. You and I sit here tonight. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. We have been sanctified. We need to say something about that. Again, because it hasn't always been that way. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is going to bring us to reality about who we were, what we were, before we came to Christ. Verse 1 beginning, "And you he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Boy, we were all of this. Let's read on. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in which in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that did not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. My friends, I'm afraid that sometimes we forget what we were. Listen to me. We were dead. We were dead in sins. According to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, we walked according to this world. Now, you know, we like to tell everybody, well, I'm in the world, but I am not of the world. Well, at one time you were. Whether you want to admit that, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, you at one time were of this world. At one time, we served the prince of the power of the air. Do you know who that is? That's none other than the devil himself. At one time, we conducted ourselves in the lust of flesh, fulfilling our own desires, and finally Paul said, we were by nature children of wrath. And then Paul said this, just like the others. We're just like everybody else. We were no different than anyone else. But the difference was, we have found our God. Our God who was rich in mercy toward us. We had a God who had a great love for us, that even though we were dead, he made us alive. He raised us up together. He set us down in the heavenly places, and he made us his workmanship. Is that not worth a yee-haw? It's worth something. And we need to say something about that. Now, for the rest of this lesson, I'm going to tell you why we need to say something. We need to say something because we're part of a family. We need to say something because we're part of a family that has been born again. I mean, it's not the fact that, didn't Jesus tell us this himself? John 3 verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he was saying this to Nicodemus, and he totally confused Nicodemus. How can this be? How can a man be born again when he is old? Jesus answered him by saying this, verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. Listen to me, friends. You've already had that fleshly birth. It was when your mama gave birth to you when you was a baby. You had your spiritual birth when you were baptized into Christ. And this was such an important thing to Jesus that he did it himself. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You're doing what, Lord? Have you ever stopped to think that baptism is not only a commandment for us, but it was a commandment for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well? Listen to it. Permit it to be so for now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Have you ever stopped to think that if Jesus had not been baptized by John in the River Jordan, that he would not have fulfilled all righteousness? He would have defeated his ability to be that perfect Son of God, that perfect sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Had he not fulfilled all righteousness, he would not have been qualified to remove our sins. My friends, today we're a family. We are God's family because we have been born again. We have fulfilled all righteousness just as Jesus did. And we need to say something about that. We need to say something because we're part of a family whose love knows no end. Do you know why our love knows no end? It is because our Heavenly Father's love knows no end. Go back to verse 4 of the passage that I just read a few moments ago. Because of his great love with which he loved us. You know, we all love to read what I call the golden verse of the Bible. John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we need to know this. Because God gives us this great love, we need to return a great love to him. In fact, it's the greatest of all commandments. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You know, he didn't end this thought of love here. There was a second commandment that goes along with it. The second is like it, he said. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And you know, if you stop and think about this, if we carry out commandment number one and commandment number two, everything else just sort of falls into place. What this means is our love for one another should be to the point, as the song suggests, if a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. The verse Galatians 6, verse 2 says, Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Now you can flip side that passage and have an understanding that if we do not bear one another's burdens, then we are not fulfilling the law of Christ. There's no other way to look at that. We are family. We are a family in sunshine. We are a family in rain. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And then he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The love of God is tremendous. Our love for God should be tremendous. Our love for one another should be tremendous because that's what the Bible says. Love. And we need to say something about that. This brings us to the final point. And we need to say something about this, because we are family now, and we will be family forever. We came to Dawson Road in January of 2002. That's almost 25 years ago. Most of you that are here tonight were not here then. I counted, I think there may be 11 people in this congregation that was actually here when we came here that many years ago. Most of them have gone on to their eternal reward. Of course, some of them have moved away. But most of you people here tonight were not here when we came. And I think about those faces and I think about those names who were here and how wonderful these people were, how they worked with us, how they supported us as you do today. And I think about these wonderful, wonderful people. And I'm looking forward to seeing them again. And according to the Apostle Paul, I will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, we are a family now, and we will be a family forever. And we need to say something about that. We need to let everybody know just how wonderful it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we need to encourage other people to be a part of our kingdom, because Jesus can redeem them just as he has redeemed us. He can justify them just as he has justified us. And we need to say something about that. Today is indeed a great day. Great because it is the Lord's day. But it is great because we are together as God's family. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we'll laugh together. Sometimes we'll cry. Sometimes we'll share together heartaches and sighs. But sometimes we'll dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven as God's family. Please, friends, if you are here and you are not a part of this family, give your life to a wonderful God. Become a part of a wonderful church. People who love you and care for you, and a God that will redeem you. Be born again. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you, redeem you, and save your soul. Christian friend, are you still a part of this family? Or it may be that you have allowed something to stand in your way, causing you to walk away from the family of God. Remember what you had. Remember the love that God has for you. Remember the bond that you once had with God and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit and with the church family, and how wonderful it was. And please know that you can have it again if you have let the world in your life and come back home. Oh, we're part of a family, the greatest family that can be. Be sure that you are a part of this family. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.